Welcome, everyone, to The Sixth Sense with Tara Ventura, psychic numerologist and channel. She assists you to envision your potential and discover your unique voice, bringing lively, purposeful, and spiritual topics to the table. Relax and enjoy with an open heart, bringing fun, insights, and captivating viewpoints. Here now is Tara Ventura.
Welcome, 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 my fellow compassionate beings. Hello, this is Tara Ventura and The Sixth Sense, and what a glorious day it is, right? We were just talking about how beautiful it is on the West Coast, and it is gorgeous here in Austin today. Lots of sunshine after several days of rain. So the rain has brought down the beautiful magic that makes the trees grow, the leaves come out, the grass blade shine. So we're just absolutely loving it. And it's very healing too. You know, when you see all this green, isn't it healing? That's how I feel. And speaking of healing, today we're going to have on the show Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, and he heals through his messages. A psychic lawyer. Don't you love it? Okay, so this is going to be a captivating hour. Mark will join us in a minute, but first I want to say something about the new moon that was yesterday in Aries, which is the sign of me, I. Love you, Aries. I'm a Libra, so when there's an Aries, it's my opposite sign. I'm just like, okay, I'll grasp it. So I'm wanting to know, did everyone set their intentions for the new moon for this next month? I know I did, and it was pretty long list, to be quite honest. But you know, intentions are great because they let the universe know that we have expectations for a clearer path and that we're not just meandering around. So if you would like to set clear intentions, I'm a mentor as well as a channel and a psychic numerologist. So I'm more than happy to help you find your passion and the service you would like to offer the world and get it in motion. Get it going. I had an email from a woman today. She said, Tara, I met with you a couple months ago. We're moving back to Austin, and I want to talk to you about my business. So anyway, let's do that. And I want to introduce my guest. I'm so excited about having Mark Anthony on today. He's Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer. He's a practicing medium who not only communicates with spirits, he is also a successful licensed attorney who practices law in Florida, Washington, D.C., and also before the United States Supreme Court. Wow. Okay, so Mark graduated from Mercer Law School with honors, which included the study of law at Oxford in England. He also has studied mediumship in England at the Arthur Findlay College for the Advancement of Psychic Science. Which, funny, I tripped up on that one because I was just thinking about this today. Mark Anthony is a published author of his bestseller, Never Letting Go, which is the definitive guide to healing grief with the help from the other side. His new groundbreaking book called Evidence of Eternity, which is doing wonderfully well, I highly recommend it, you folks, bridges the gap between the spiritual and the scientific. And what have we talked about so many times? You know, people, was it spiritual, is it scientific? We'll bridge that gap today. And I also want to encourage anyone, if you would like to ask Mark a question, if you want to receive a reading from possibly a deceased one, whether they're a family member, spouse, parent, sibling, friend, or someone who's crossed over, we'll see if they come through. We're more than happy to take your phone calls. Or if you just have a question for Mark about his books or him or what he does, we would be most happy to have you on. And the number is 888-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008. Please welcome my special guest today, psychic lawyer Mark Anthony. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Tara. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. My shows have continually evolved into the spiritual realm, and I'm so fascinated with that, and I'm finding that people are more and more, I was going to say more and more people, and people are as continually finding interest in it. So I want to start with, I've read and I've looked at some of your YouTubes. You really come from a family that, it's like six generations back, that really explored. I mean, when you came home from school, your mother was like, oh, I saw spirits, where some of us came home and it was like, well, how did school go today? Or,
Well, we definitely had that, but mom was a psychic medium. My dad was too, but he was really kind of quiet about his abilities. And, mom was very open about hers, and she would talk about seeing spirits, and I always thought it was fascinating, and I would sit there and just be on the edge of my seat. She was very, very spiritual, and even though we were raised Catholic, and I'd even considered going into the clergy, but I found it too limiting. And, with all the respect, all my Catholic brothers and sisters, but for me, organized religion is too dogmatic and too restrictive. And mom, mm-hmm. When I was an early age, she would talk about Jesus, but she would also talk about Buddha, and she would talk about other great spiritual leaders throughout history. And her belief, which is my belief, is that God comes to us in many forms and in many different cultural ways to communicate to the vast array of what humanity is. And so that to say that, well, our religion is superior to your religion, we realize that wasn't the way to go. And that's not the path to God, to tell everyone that you're superior because they don't believe exactly the way you do.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? And I heard you also say that, actually I was watching you on YouTube and I was hearing you say something, and this is paraphrased, as many people as there are in the world, there are just as many paths to God.
Yes. That's on one of the interviews that I've been in, and the first time I heard that, I was in Japan. Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating about Japan, Tara, is that it's very typical for people to be a member of more than one religion. It isn't the us versus they. People can be a Buddhist, a Shinto, and a Christian all at the same time because their belief is that God is God is God. And I was talking to a Buddhist monk about that, and I said, well, how can that be? I mean, in America and in Western Europe, I mean, you're a Christian,
right.
of Catholic or Greek Orthodox or Jewish. And what he said was, well, who are we to put limitations upon God? As many people as there are in the world is as many paths to God as there are in the world.
Wow.
And that was so profound, as one of those things that just really, really stuck with me. And he also said that it's potential paths to God. It, just because somebody runs around and says, I believe in God, doesn't make them spiritual. Because and we're seeing this in the Middle East. I mean, when you see that, I refer to it as the filth that calls itself ISIS. That is everything that is wrong with religion. It is a group of hateful, evil, irrational, angry people who say that they've hijacked a religion and are using it to justify anger, bigotry, hatred, murder, and unspeakable violence. And there's nothing spiritual or godlike about that. It's strictly a very egotistical and ego-driven agenda. But people like to say, well, I am a devout whatever, and therefore that gives me the right to just, pass judgment and be hateful. And every one of the great spiritual leaders, Buddha, Krishna, Jesus, Muhammad, people don't realize in the Quran it says to save one person is to save humanity, to condemn to murder one person is to murder humanity. So Muhammad didn't say go out and murder innocent people and go out and murder unarmed people. And so and the Queen of Jordan recently said that ISIS is not representative of Islam at all. In fact, they're not even Islamic. They're just murderers.
Wow. Wow. And see, that really resonates, doesn't it? Because that has nothing to do with what I feel, you know, God is love. So why, yeah, they're murdering and it's coming from a fear base, I feel.
Well, it is. It's a fear-based primitive medieval superstition. And also in this country, and I don't want to get political because I understand arguments on both sides of the aisle, but I don't recall Jesus saying, we are all the children of God, except for the following people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sorry, laugh, but yeah. Except for the following.
Right. When you look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, a person who wasn't Jewish, who rescued a Jewish man who was beaten and robbed and left for dead when other people left him lying there dying. And the Samaritan, who was not Jewish and would have been considered a pagan or a heathen, came to this man's aid and showed him mercy and compassion. And that's what it's all about. God is all about peace and love and understanding, and to be spiritual, it's all about compassion. And one of the quotes from Gandhi that I really love is that we are all the children of God, so why do you raise your hands against your brothers and sisters simply because they call God by a different name?
Yeah. Yeah. It's perfect, isn't it? It's like we could just, you know, in that section right there, because why would we do that?
Well, we shouldn't. We shouldn't. And that's what Jesus was talking about. And in my new book, Evidence of Eternity, I take an interfaith approach to helping people understand the afterlife and how spirit communication works. And my premise is that science and faith are not mutually exclusive, and that this book is the bridge between the spiritual and the scientific.
Yeah. So let's talk a minute about that. And before we do, though, I want to say, you know, a psychic lawyer, let's just clear let's clear that for anyone, because it seems polar opposite. So
it does. It does. But it's not. But it's not. Because a lot of people, it's funny, you know, people write all kinds of, you know, things on my Facebook page. And I certainly welcome people to follow me on Facebook.
What's your Facebook,
people say,
Mark?
Well, Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer.
Okay, there
and
you go.
If you go to my website, evidenceofeternity.com, on the homepage, you can find out about my book, Evidence of Eternity, and where to locate it. You can watch the video about it and other videos of me doing my work and in speaking engagements. And you can also click on the icon to follow my like page or like my page or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But both of my careers as an attorney and as a psychic medium actually in many ways work in harmony, because they're both about evidence. And
true.
As an attorney, you have to have evidence to prove and to substantiate your case. And conversely, and you know this as well, Tara, from being a practicing psychic and a numerologist, you can't just fling generalities out there. You have to present verifiable evidence to people. So when I'm communicating with spirits on behalf of a client to facilitate a connection between the person here and their loved one on the other side, I can't just say, there's a grandmother here who died, because chances are we've all had a grandmother who's passed or a great-grandmother who's passed. But you have to start giving facts and evidence about that person to validate the reality of the contact. And also both jobs are about helping people. You know, I know that attorneys get a bad rap, and I can't say that it's entirely undeserved, because I know a lot of attorneys who will cut you in two for $20. And what happens is that ego-driven, aggressive personalities seem to be attracted to the legal profession.
Interesting.
But that doesn't mean that all
that.
Attorneys. Yeah, it doesn't mean that all attorneys are nasty, horrible people. But because as an attorney, you have to help people through some of the most devastating life circumstances. Whether they're arrested or they've been mangled in an accident or they're going through a divorce or they've lost a loved one. I mean, we're here to help them get through that from the legal, perhaps the criminal or the civil justice system side of it. And as a medium, my job is to facilitate communication between this side and the other side to help somebody here understand that life is truly everlasting and that our relationship with someone we love goes from one of a physical nature to one of a spiritual nature.
Yeah, and thank you for giving some attorneys, I guess is what we're saying, is a humanistic quality. No, that's very beneficial.
We're not all vampiric, blood-sucking monsters. And a lot, the attorneys that I associate with tend to be pretty nice people. In fact, they are pretty nice people. And we'll even sit there and look at the people that are just vicious and mean. But what it is, in every business, in anything where there's power, money, and control, you're going to attract aggressive personalities. I was reading about a study how, normally, Tara, when you think of a psychopath, you think of a creepy guy coming through your window at 3 a.m. with a chainsaw. But that's not always the case. And a lot of the sociopath and psychopathic personalities, they're very brilliant people. They're very aggressive. They're very focused. They're totally me centered. And there was a study done that a lot of high-ranking CEOs and vice presidents and big corporations fit the psychopathic personality. That does not mean that they commit murder, but they will, basically stop at nothing to achieve their ends. Now, for some big corporations, hey, that's our guy or girl. And I've encountered a number of attorneys that I believe
a few corporations like that. No, go ahead. Right.
Yeah. But, and that doesn't also mean that all corporations are evil and bad either.
Right.
I mean, a lot of them provide, incredibly wonderful services, and they create, devices and things to make our lives better. So, we have to be careful about generalizing anyone or anything. But a lot of times in a courtroom, the sociopath isn't the one who is designated as the defendant or the accused. It's the person sitting across from you at the table wearing the pinstripe Armani suit.
Wow. That is crazy. You were saying comparing the helping of, the spirit world as far as and it being an attorney too. So when you feel like you're helping people, giving them a message, does it come into your third eye? I know you hear and see as well as you feel, don't you?
Yes. I see things, I hear things, and I feel things. And in Evidence of Eternity, I refer to what we generally call mediumship as interdimensional communication, because that's what we're doing. Here in the material world, this is our dimension. It's a physical dimension where everything has a physical body or matter and finite limitations. Everything we know and experience has a beginning, a middle, and an end. The other side is a different energetic dimension. And according to the string theorists, in the last century, there's not just a universe, but there are multiverses. In other words, many different dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make it simpler to understand. Think of our world as AM radio. We use energy, frequency, and vibration. Think of the other side as FM radio, because it uses frequency, energy, and vibration. It's just that its frequency is at a much higher rate. And to communicate or facilitate communication between this side and the other side, it's a frequency overlap. So it would be increasing the frequency modulation of our world, and the spirit world slows down its frequency modulation, so you get a frequency match. And I think that may be one of the best ways of understanding that. And so the other side, heaven, nirvana, whatever you would like to call it, it isn't some far-off, distant, airy-fairy place. It is another frequency, another dimension, which intersects and coincides with ours.
Mm-hmm. So it is all around us. Is that what you're saying, Mark?
I believe that it is. I believe that it is. And it is so difficult to even begin to understand, and I don't pretend to know all the intricacies of heaven and the other side, because it is an infinite place. Mm-hmm. Whereas our perceptions of things are all based on a finite reality. In other words, our human brain houses our consciousness, houses our soul, our spirit. It is not the source of it. And it appears, based on my research and the thousands of readings that I've done, also in my discussions with the top near-death experience researchers in the world, the top three who have endorsed evidence of eternity, it appears that we come into this life to experience things that you can't on the other side. In other words, when you're a pure spiritual entity, you don't get old, you don't get sick, you can't die. You may be aware of grief and grieving as your loved ones here in the material world are experiencing it, but you cannot mm-hmm. experience it over there because it doesn't exist. And for whatever reason, we come into this incarnation to experience things that we simply cannot on the other side. It is a privilege to live in the material world, although many days it does not feel that way.
It does not feel like that, right? Yeah, no, that's true. And I think people want to grasp with that. So this is a hard day at school, as I've heard it said before. And then the spiritual world, like you said, is one where we know sadness, we know emotions, but we're apparently they, or those who are over, don't feel it, but they can see it from us. So let's do this. Let's take a quick 20-second break, and would love to, anyone that wants to speak with Mark, invite you to do so. The number again is 888-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008. And, Mark, if anything comes up around me, I would love to hear it as well. So let's go ahead and take a break, and we will be back in 15 seconds. Welcome back, everyone. This is Tara Ventura with Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer. And we are talking about his new book, Evidence of Eternity. And so I would like to ask you, Mark, how does Evidence of Eternity differ from your first book, Never Letting Go? What's the difference?
Never Letting Go is a guide on the journey through grief, and it's for anyone who's lost a loved one, and it explains how to get through it, and also how spirits are aware of our suffering and how they reach out to us from the other side. So Never Letting Go is a guide on the journey through grief. It's inspirational in that it produces evidence for the existence of an afterlife. It mm-hmm. will teach you how to recognize when loved ones and spirit are near, and it's very healing in that it produces and provides messages of love and hope, many of which come from the other side. Evidence of Eternity takes the fear and superstition out of spirit communication and brings our understanding of it into the 21st century. It bridges the gap between the scientific and the spiritual. Within this book, I have developed new concepts to define and explain spirit communication based on our understanding of frequency, quantum physics, science, physiology, theology, and evidence. So it will discuss how spirit communication is a reality and how it's based on sound scientific principles and logic.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. So does this, I guess, help a person to understand if someone's more science oriented, then they can read this book. You can read this book, and it is more, I guess it's factual. I guess you could say that because you are fact-based, like you said, whether you're an attorney or you're a psychic medium.
Well, it's fact-based in that I draw upon the knowledge of not only the great spiritual teachers, such as Buddha and Jesus and Gandhi, but also from people such as Thomas Edison, Albert mm-hmm. Einstein, Dr. Raymond Moody, Dr. Kenneth Ring, Dr. Jeffrey Long, the top near-death experience researchers in the world, and studies conducted throughout the world on physics, energy transfer, frequency. And so when I'm making points and explaining my theories in the book, then I illustrate them with true stories from readings. And this is not like reading an algebra textbook. This reads like a novel. I mean, it's so funny because I spent years doing the research, and it was 6 months every day writing it, and then going through all the the rigmarole with a publisher, and people are telling me I read it in one day, and which is very I mean, thank you, and I appreciate that. And then
after all that hard work, blood, sweat, and tears.
After all that hard, well, that's fine. I'm glad that it's they're finding it so readable, and I've had a lot of other people say, I don't know if I believe in the afterlife so much, but God, I couldn't put it down. It was, the true crime stories and the zap action that's in it. Last night and the night before, I had two public events where I was conducting readings for people, and a number of folks said that they read it and they really enjoyed it, but now they're going back and reading it, and they're seeing, wow, the science, it's really making it all gel for me. Because spirit communication isn't some woo-hoo, magical hocus-pocus. I believe, Tara, that there is a logical reason for everything. We may not understand something now, but all the great discoveries, all the basis of wisdom begins with, I don't know. And if you don't know something, then you approach it, and a mystery is just something that is not currently explained because our understanding or our technology, it has not yet evolved to the point of being able to analyze and explain it. And attitudes, even in the theological community, are changing. Recently, Pope Francis said something. I really like Pope Francis, and he said something that was wonderful. He said that the Big Bang does not contradict the creative intervention of God. It depends
upon
it.
Wow, that's a biggie.
That's a biggie. Yes, absolutely. Well, I always wonder about the Vatican, because a few years ago they issued a statement that it's okay to believe in extraterrestrial life because we cannot put limitations upon the creative power of God. And I think maybe the Vatican knows a lot more about things than we think they do, and maybe Area 51 doesn't even hold a candle to what they might have. You never know.
It's probably true. Just we don't know about that. And folks, if you're just tuning in, Mark was groomed to be a priest, really, at one time. So, I know you look to the Bible for inspiration, and because there are a lot of prophets and people with medium gifts that are mentioned in the Bible. So that's why we're talking about this a little bit today. That's fascinating about the Vatican. Really interesting. So tell me, who would benefit? What type of person, or who would benefit most from reading Evidence of Eternity?
Anyone who likes a riveting page turner, anyone who wants to know more about the afterlife, anyone who wants to see how spirit communication is based on sound scientific principles, and anyone who has suffered the loss of a child, a spouse, a pet, because I go into interspecies communication from the other side, and it gives very powerful insights into crime, homicide, and suicide. So there is quite a bit of value to anyone who's lost a loved one, or anyone who wants to know more about what happens when I die, and is reincarnation real?
Yeah. And it's interesting, when you were talking about animals, I was looking at the question that says, well, do you believe animals have souls? Well, I'm pretty sure that's a yes. How do you feel about animal reincarnation when we see them? In other words, will we see them again as animals, or as, how do you feel about that? Just your feeling.
I think what you're asking is, do I believe in the transmigration of souls? In other words, if you're a person in this life, you're going to be a cat in the next life. That I don't believe. I know that the Hindus believe that, and I think some sects of Buddhism believe that, but I don't. I think that animals are always animals and people are always people. I have a lot of people say that, you know, their loved one died and now, you know, he or she is their angel in heaven, and I totally understand why they're saying that, but angels were never people. People do not become angels, and they coexist quite harmoniously together on the other side. There's a lot of non-human intelligent species in the spirit realm, and there's this human arrogance, if you will, that animals don't have souls. I mean, look into the eyes of a pet that loves you, and tell me that being doesn't have a soul.
Oh my gosh! I have a 14-and-a-half year old. No, you're right. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No. I mean, I think. You know, I remember my first encounter with a giraffe, and I was in a position where I could feed it and pet. I'm not going to call it her. Mm-hmm. And the way she looked at me, and they had these giant eyes. They're like totally dark, and there was such love and compassion in this creature's eye. And I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me, and I'm like, how could anyone think that this being that is so full of love doesn't have a soul? Well, in the thousands of readings that I've conducted and documented, animals come through. And communication with animals is very different than communication with spirits. Animals are yes, no, white, black, right, wrong, love you, don't love you.
Yes.
There's none of these nuances and subtleties and passive-aggressive behaviors that tend to permeate human relationships. I mean, how many times, mm-hmm. you know, when you're breaking up with someone, it isn't you, it's me. I mean, please. When people use things like that, or I'll call you, okay? A dog or a cat's always happy to see you, okay, because they love and they love unconditionally. And they're not stupid. I hate that term, dumb animals. They simply manifest intelligence differently than humans do.
Oh my gosh, I'll punch someone if I hear them say that. No, go ahead.
I know. Well, you know, it's like, you know, they're dumb animals and they don't understand this and they don't understand that. Let me tell you something. A dog can distinguish between being intentionally kicked and accidentally stumbled over.
Mm.
So, you know, they understand us and they bond with us on incredible levels. And so in many, many readings, animals come through, and it's amazing the things they'll bring up. And in Evidence of Eternity, I write about the unconditional love of animals from the other side, and it is interspecies, interdimensional communication. So not only are we communicating with a different dimension, but now we're communicating with a different species, which then people say, well, how can you talk to a cat or a dog or a horse? And I get a lot of people saying, well, can you communicate with my grandmother? She only spoke Spanish. Well, spirits don't speak English or French or Chinese or any human language.
Right, right.
What it is, a spirit's pure consciousness, and what they're doing is they're vibrating waves of intelligence at the medium, and in those waves are concepts, feelings, and emotions, which then go into my brain and then are translated into recognizable concepts, words, feelings, and emotions based on my experiences, cultural references, and memories. Mm-hmm. So animals can do the same thing, and they can actually transmit some pretty accurate data, which is always startling and fascinating.
Wow, that is fascinating. Yeah, I know that's come up with me before, and it's, like you say, it's more of a black and white than it is this intermeddling of information, right? And so let's talk a little bit too about, you know, many people have experienced the homicide or the suicide with a, you know, family member or a friend. And so I'm not sure how I want to ask this, but how does your book deal with issues like that? Or like with losing a child?
Well, all right, those are very deep questions, and that's why with the chapter on homicide and the other side, I go into several case studies of people who have lost loved ones to murder, and even there is a section in there where a prisoner on death row began writing me, looking for redemption for the unspeakably horrific murder that he committed.
Mm-hmm.
And I go into that and explain what it's like when a spirit from the other side comes through that has been murdered. In my first book, Never Letting Go, there is a chapter where a little boy who'd been murdered by a serial killer, and they actually, not only the boy came through in the reading, but the serial killer did too, which was really quite intense. And in Evidence of Eternity, I go into what it's like communicating with the spirits of children who have died and how they're reaching out to their parents, and also to help people understand about survivor guilt. Any parent who's lost a child, whether they had anything to do with the death or not, they feel guilty.
Yeah.
And people tend to wish that they had superpowers where they could have flown in and saved their child at the last moment, or made a decision which would have affected a medical emergency or done something. And that is such a normal thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a normal thing to do when losing a child is the most crushing and horrific thing. And it's very important for people to realize that we don't have godlike powers. We cannot turn back time. We cannot go and undo what has happened. And that you have to get to a point where you accept the reality of the death, and through that acceptance, find a place of inner peace. Because
mm-hmm.
so many lives of people who've lost children are just destroyed by that. And it is heart-wrenching. And anything that I can do or that my books can do to help alleviate even a part of that pain, that's what I'm trying to accomplish.
That's what you're trying to accomplish. So, yeah, I mean, I can really see how the, you know, being a lawyer and being a psychic medium is really does go hand in hand. So when you're communicating with one that's, let's just say there's been a suicide, you're feeling the sadness as well, or you're feeling the emotional feelings of it?
Well, when a spirit comes in, first I get a gender. I may get an idea of their connection to you. In other words, I may feel that they're on what I call a lower level. And by lower, I don't mean negative. It means like a family tree chart. In other words,
uh-huh.
they're below your generation. Then I'll start feeling symptoms of associated with the death. In one reading recently, I started feeling a choking sensation in my throat and a dizziness and an irrationality going through my head and an anger. And it was really overwhelming, Tara, because this young man had hung himself, and the mm-hmm. client, she verified that. But then I said, there's this anger, this predatorial behavior, and he keeps showing me an image of this young woman and how he kept saying, I wanted to kill her.
Wow.
And the client said, well, yes, she said, my son was a psychopath, and he suffered from this horrible disorder, and he was the sweetest boy, but then it started emerging within him. And she said, after he committed suicide, I found his diary and all these pictures of this girl that he liked and how he said he wanted to murder her. So this was coming through in the mm-hmm. reading. And then what he said was, I returned, and it was a logical act to save her life. And then the mother said, oh, my God, I never thought of that. What happened was, he was having lucid intervals, and then the psychotic behaviors would take over. It was literally like there was another person inside of him. And it's not demonic possession. This is an actual mental disorder. But enough of him would return, and he came, he surfaced, and he realized, I'm going to murder her, and I'm going to murder other people unless I put a stop to this. And he hung
wow.
himself. And the quote came through, I had no greater love than to lay my life down for a friend, which is a quote from the Bible, from Jesus. And his mother said, oh, my God, I never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm,
and so
mm-hmm.
his last act, he kept saying it was logical and rational, even though he, for the most part, was irrational. But his last act was heroic, because if he didn't do this, he was going to murder somebody, and not
wow.
just somebody. She said that she was always afraid her son was going to be an Adam Lanza. He was that, you know, crazy kid that went and shot all those,
yeah.
those children at the school.
The
and
school.
I remember watching the news reports, and also as an attorney, I'm often called upon to do legal commentary on high-profile murder cases, and that was one that I had commented upon on a number of news programs. And
wow.
Adam Lanza's, you know, I think his stepfather or whatever it was, they knew. And then there was that boy who was in California that went crazy and shot all the kids
mm-hmm.
In college. His parents, as soon as they heard about it on the news, they knew it was their son. And so the client that I was doing the reading for, she said, I had always dreaded hearing something like that in the news because I knew it would be my son. But what he did at the last moment was by taking his own life, saving someone else's. Now,
wow.
let me explain something to the listeners.
Okay, and we do have a caller, by the way, too. Did you hear us?
I do have to explain this, though.
Okay.
I am in no way condoning or advocating suicide. This was a highly unique and very specified situation. And if people are feeling depressed or suicidal, or they know that a loved one is, please, please, please don't go through this alone and call suicide prevention hotlines. There are professionals who are compassionate and caring and trained and are there because they want to help you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All right, Tara, now we can take the caller.
Well, before we do, I want to thank you so much for saying that, because there was someone very close to me, and I know a number of us have had that. So, yes, if you are having those thoughts, there's much help out there. Thank you, Mark, for saying that to our listeners. Okay. And Lindsay, are you online too? Lindsay?
I am. Hi.
Hi. Hi. Welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
I've worked with Tara a lot, and for some reason today I felt compelled to listen and call in, so I thought I would and see if anything comes through.
Hey, Lindsay. How are you? Yeah.
Good.
This is Mark. Mark, do you?
Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Mark.
Now, are you wanting to get hold of a loved one on the other side?
Yeah, I would like to, if possible.
Okay. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the frequency, and I know that we all tend to focus on who we want to hear from. I don't necessarily mm-hmm. have control. I always tell people I'm not a bouncer, so I can't just say, I can't reach into heaven and say, you, not you. Oh, wait, you. But okay, so let me open up, and immediately I'm getting a male energy coming through. And what I'm getting with him is I'm getting these intense pains in my head. Now, what this indicates to me is that this could be like a stroke, aneurysm, or some type of issue going on his head. And I'm also getting a terrible pain in my lower abdominal region, which would be on below the left side of the rib cage. That whole area feels like it's on fire. Okay, and when I get fiery sensations like that, that could mean maybe he was burned, but usually burning sensations are one of the indicators I get for cancer. I'm also getting a nauseated sensation with him. That's another one of my cancer indicators, and I feel like vomiting. I won't, but that vomiting sensation tends to indicate that he may have had cancer, and I'm getting a thinning sensation throughout my body. And his passing was not a quick or abrupt thing. It looks like it took some time, and there was a weakening going through him. Does this make any sense to you?
Not necessarily, but I mean,
different medical conditions have a different medical conditions have a similar sensation. In other words, cancer and other type of diseases that take you a bit at a time, where you die rather slowly, can mimic each other. In other words, let's say leukemia and dying of a long protracted thing like HIV, they both drain you an inch at a time, have a similar sensation to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Mark, when you said something about a thinning, what was that, a thinning effect? Lindsay, did that?
yes.
resonate with you at all? And you were about to say something too, Lindsay. Go ahead.
Well, my grandfather passed away a couple of years ago, and it was, you know, over a little more than a week or so. So it was fairly quick in the grand scheme of things, but he it was like a deterioration over time, and I was, you know, I watched it happen.
Well, okay, so he was ill for some time, and then at the end it accelerated. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I think so. It was more like we just didn't really know what had happened, and then all of a sudden he got really sick and ultimately, you know, died of pneumonia.
It sounds like he was sick before he even either said it or got to the point. I don't know. How are you feeling about that, Mark?
All right, let me get back. Okay. Did he like big dogs, or do you have big dogs? Because I'm seeing big dogs associated with him.
He liked animals, not necessarily dogs, but.
Okay. All right. Because I'm seeing big dogs associated with him. And I'm also seeing a man who really appreciated his family, really liked being outdoors, and he was one of these people who really knew to stop and smell the roses, and he understood what was important in life, our family and the people that matter. And certainly he had a great work ethic and enjoyed, you know, working and providing for his family, but none of it mattered unless he could see the smiles on people's faces of the ones that he loved.
Hmm. That's very nice.
Does that make sense for him, Lindsay?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a very loving person, not necessarily very outwardly effusive, but you could tell that it was there. He just was a bit shy about expressing it.
He's also drawing my attention into the month of July. Now, that can apply to you, that can apply to him, or that can be a significant birthday, anniversary, or event connected to you, connected to him, or someone close to you in the month of July.
I'm not sure that I have any special connection. Oh, well, my parents got married in July. I guess that's
that would be a yes. Okay. And what it is, Lindsay, a lot of things that come to a reading, particularly on these real fast mini readings that we have to do on radio, a lot of things that come through may not immediately make sense to you, which is not unusual. I get emails and letters every day from people who explain that, you know, as soon as they went off air, or especially when I'm on TV shows, and as soon as the cameras go off, oh, my God, that was my mom. You know, they start to remember. And even in the one-on-one readings, I get emails every day from people who said afterwards to start thinking about it and realizing what was going on. All right, let's see what he would like you to know. Lindsay, do you have something about fresh air, like a breathing or an air quality thing that you always need, like fresh air? There's something about you and air and like wide open. I don't know if you're like claustrophobic or you have a mold sensitivity, but he keeps talking about you and something about fresh air.
I metaphorically have been seeking fresh air, I guess, the past year or so, in trying to figure out new directions and things like that, and needing, you know, sort of new space, new air in that respect.
Fresh air.
Okay, so that's making sense to you, all right, because I don't always understand what they're saying as long as it resonates with you. Let me see what he's got to say about that. He says, stop trying so hard. He said, by trying so hard, it's not going to happen. He says, just let it happen. In other words, the transition is already in motion. And what's happening is, and what he's telling me is, you're having a hard time seeing the forest through the trees because you're trying to engineer this as opposed to just letting it happen to you. In other words, you're in the canoe, and it's already going through the whitewater rapids, okay? And when you're going downstream, there's no going back up. So you are in motion. Now, the other thing, I'm smelling what smells like tires, like new tires. Now, that could mean, I don't know, maybe you got new tires or something with your car going on.
Yeah, my car has been horrible for the past year or so as well.
Maybe you need new tires.
Okay. I think you need a new set of wheels here, and nobody wants to run out and get a new car payment. But the reason he's bringing up the whole tire thing is that you're going to need a dependable vehicle for these changes that are coming. And so, you know, you need to get that in motion too. Plus, there's something, this is interesting, the fresh air thing's coming back. It seems like there's almost something with the exhaust system on your car that might be deteriorating, and I see that it can deteriorate and stall and break down in a dark place at night, which is not a great place for you to be. And so he wants to head this off the pass so that it never comes to be.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But hopeful.
That's interesting.
A little scary, but hopeful. Yeah.
Hey, Mark, I have a question on this. Do we, our emotions affect our house, our car, like if you have plumbing problems or what you're saying about her exhaust?
I think it's the other way around. When your car starts breaking down, that affects your emotions. I know, it's like every time you think, oh, this month I've caught up on my bills, what do you mean the hot water heater went, you know?
Right.
I don't necessarily think so. We have to, you know, realize that, you know, we have mechanical limited devices around us. They're machines. And let's borrow a page out of the Buddha textbook. The only thing that's permanent is impermanence. So everything around us has a limited lifespan, including ourselves. So we can get very caught up in being angry because our car doesn't work right or our roof is leaking. And certainly I understand that, and it is frustrating. But it's all about what the great spiritual teachers are trying to get to us, is that these are the distractions. And when we get caught up in the distractions, it inhibits our progress as a spiritual being.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So, Lindsay, do you see the car, what Mark's saying about to move forward, getting a new set of wheels or at least taking care of that aspect of it?
I mean, I've known for a long time that it's something that needs to happen. I just haven't had the finances to actually make it happen. So it's been a point of big frustration in my life, is it's just not feasible. So...
Yeah. Okay. Wow, Mark. Anything else for Lindsay, or are we?
Yeah, there's something about the month of March that could be significant birthdays, anniversaries, or events in the month of March, but he keeps pulling me into March. It's almost like end of March, early April. End of March, early April, I keep seeing. And the reason I keep seeing that is I'm seeing a diamond ring. I'm seeing a diamond ring there, and diamonds are the birthstone for the month of April. And the reason I'm getting March is I'm seeing a four-leaf clover, so that's my indicator for the month of March. So, but it looks to me like later March, early April, significant birthdays, anniversaries, or events.
Okay.
Interesting. Well, fantastic. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Lindsay, for calling in. Yeah, I look forward to seeing you next.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bless you, Lindsay. God bless you.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. Yeah, thank you, Mark. So when certain symbols come up, you noticed over a period of time, that's what this means. Like for me, when I see the color green, it's either, one with no money, it's healing, or believe it or not, Ireland, Scotland. For some reason, those two come up.
You know, I get the Ireland thing too. When I see a four-leaf clover, that can mean the month of March. It can mean the number 17. It doesn't have to be St. Patrick's Day, but it's 17. It can mean like Patty, Patrick, you know, a name like that, or someone connected to Ireland, Irish heritage. And that's funny because, what it is, vibrationally, we're receiving the information, and then our brain is converting it into recognizable concepts based on our cultural references. And in, you know, Western Europe and the U.S., we all know, you know, green, you know, the luck of the Irish, the Emerald Isle, and four-leaf clovers, that type of thing, would indicate that. Whereas, let's say, green in India may have a completely different, and most likely does, significance. Because I've talked to mediums and Indian mystics, and colors that we associate with certain things and moods have a completely different meaning in India. And it's not that maybe it's not that a spirit is actually giving us green. They're giving us the concept, yet
the
it
concept.
Is our brain which interprets it as green. So maybe, you know, green meaning Irish or you know, luck of the, let's say green meaning luck or lack of money in the U.S. or in Europe, maybe that the corresponding color in India would be orange. But as long as the actual message is conveyed and received and interpreted and accepted by the client, then it doesn't matter if we're seeing green or orange, as long as they're getting the message that is being transmitted from the other side.
Right, right. Like tomatoes or tomatoes. It's whatever it
is. Basically, it, that's a good way of putting it.
Oh, my gosh, Mark. Well, this has been a pleasure. As it happens too often, this was much too quick, and I would love to talk to you for much, much longer. But we're coming to the close of the show, and how can people reach you? And I do want to say the name of your book again is Evidence of Eternity. And how would you like for people to reach you?
I made it as easy as I could for everyone, including myself, evidenceofeternity.com. So if people want to find out about booking a session with me or find out more about Evidence of Eternity, which is on sale worldwide at all fine bookstores like Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, all independently owned bookstores. It's on sale online at Amazon.com, Walmart.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and I even understand eBay. So I guess I have arrived.
You have arrived, my friend. Listen, thank you so much. This was really, really fascinating, and I'm coming from the heart for saying that. I really appreciate what you do, more than appreciate. It's giving love to people when they really need it. It's giving them messages in so many different ways. So thank you so much for being on today. Really enjoyed having you. Everybody, look up Mark at evidenceofeternity.com. And this is Tara Ventura, the Magical Matrix. And everyone have a great week.